This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Newbery Medal winner Catherine Applegate lives among the hundreds of imaginary friends she's created in her books for children. She's written about 150 so far, but who's counting? Her newest, Crenshaw, is about an imaginary giant cat that helps 11-year-old Jackson cope with homelessness. Applegate talks about why she chose to write for children.
When they love a book, a kid tells you they love a book. They love books wholeheartedly. And when they don't like a book, they tell you that too. They are very open with their criticism, which can be quite useful. It's, of course, a great job because you're independent, because you're getting paid basically to be, I always say, you're paid to be a liar and a slob. You wear pajamas to work and you make stuff up all day. And tell me that's not a great job.
Yeah.
And I know so many children's writers who will tell you this. It really wasn't about the audience. It was about the type of book mm-hmm. that I wanted to write. I think of myself as more chamber music than symphony kind of writer. I like short and small, and I like paring down things to their essence. And for me, a children's book was a natural place to do that.
Now we'll get to Crenshaw, your new book coming out. And one of the things that I really loved about it was that you dealt with a difficult, painful topic that I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I can't say that I've read an awful lot in children's literature today, but it seems like not too many authors have handled homelessness as a topic, the working poor in America. So bring us into this journey. How did this idea come about? How did you build it?
I do think you're right about that. I don't think there are a lot of books about the working poor, about, you know, food insecurity is the label du jour. There have been some wonderful books about homelessness along the way, but that sort of in-between place that so many American families find themselves in, where parents are weaving together multiple part-time jobs and you're never quite sure if you're going to have a roof over your head the next month. That is kind of new territory, I think. I wanted to explore it because post-Newbery, interestingly enough, one of the great things that happens is you tour a lot. And I found myself going to more Title I schools where the kids are every bit as engaged and enthusiastic and amazing as kids at, you know, high-performing private schools, but they don't always have the opportunities. A lot of times you're looking at padlock libraries. It's not unusual to see every single child receiving free lunch and breakfast. Yeah. So the more I visited those schools, the more I thought, geez, these kids should have their stories told. And combined with that, I had stuck in my head in that way that books sometimes will do to you, the idea of doing something about an imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. I loved the movie and the play Harvey, the Jimmy Stewart vehicle, and just thought it was so charming. And although I never had an imaginary friend myself, I thought it would really be fun to explore what it's like.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with Catherine Applegate. We talked about how visiting a school for homeless children in California helped her understand their lives.
One place that really hit home for me, it's a remarkable school in San Diego called Monarch, maybe the only one or one of two or three in the country dedicated exclusively to homelessness. And every kid there has been touched by homelessness in some way, and they provide this intense amount of services for parents, food, of course, all those bits and pieces. And it was a very controversial program. Not everybody thought it was a good idea to isolate kids who are suffering from that problem. But in fact, it's proved to be amazing. So I went and spent a day there and chatted with some kids who were very open about what their lives have been like. And the kids were so resilient and so amazingly just strong.
What kind of statistics did you find out there? Because I think too many of us don't understand not
only about homelessness, but the working poor. How many people are working and still find themselves on the outs?
One stat that really hit home, it comes from No Kid Hungry, which is a wonderful organization, one of many that works to bring awareness of kids' need for regular food sources. And they say that close to 1 in 5 kids experiences days when they are hungry. When you think about that, and in a country like ours, as affluent, as excessive we can be about food, it's really heartbreaking. One of the interesting problems that comes up, and I address that a bit in Crenshaw, is that summer is particularly hard for kids because during the winter, yeah, there are some resources. Obviously, at school, breakfast, lunch, kids will take home backpacks over the weekend to get them through. But summer, a lot of that dries up.
Introduce us a little more to Jackson. He's 11 years old, and when I read it, I found him wonderfully grounded and many times the wisest person in the book.
You know, I wanted to create a loving, intact, functional family. I didn't want this to be a hugely dysfunctional and troubled family, although sadly many of those exist.
Yeah.
His parents are well-meaning, former musicians. The dad has had MS, and they've just struggled over the years to keep themselves going financially. The mom lost a promising job, and they're going back for retraining, that sort of thing. Things you hear about every day. Jackson, as the oldest of two kids, is a very just-the-facts kind of guy. He wants to be a biologist when he grows up, loves gross and fascinating animal facts. And he is often the calm in the middle of the family storms as they occur. And they occur, unfortunately, more regularly than anyone would like.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to be that kind of kid because the return of his imaginary friend at the point where he's about to enter fifth grade and is by his lights a grown-up is really troubling. When you're a guy who believes in science, is to have this giant, hairy, strange animal appear in your bathtub.
And what I love about Jackson too is he wants people not to sugarcoat things. You know, let's talk the truth about this.
Yeah, and I think that you know, having been a parent, I think most of us try as hard as we can to, if not sugarcoat, to at least, you know, keep as much as we can from kids so they can be kids. What happens, I think, is that so often kids, especially, you know, by the time they're in late elementary school, they know a lot of what's going on.
And you bring in the medical issues. As you mentioned, the father figure has MS. And I would guess that with many of the working poor and the homeless, medical issues is often that one thing that pushes you over the disaster line.
Yeah, even sometimes with insurance, the costs of medication and of care and the loss of work. In his case, he had done construction and could no longer do that. You know, that kind of thing happens every day.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Catherine Applegate, the author of Crenshaw. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.
Catherine Applegate opens author season at the main branch of the Kalamazoo Public Library Tuesday at 7 p.m. There will also be a food drive for Kalamazoo Loaves and Fishes. The event is co-sponsored by BookBug in Kalamazoo.